A very warm welcome, everybody, to worship with our joint parishes. And before we enter into worship, we're going to find out what's going on around our parish area. So firstly, it's over to Neil in Kintore.
Thank you, Sheila, and hello, everybody. At Kintore, the big news today is a service of confirmation. My daughter, Christine, is confirming her baptismal vows, and somebody else in the congregation is also reaffirming their baptismal vows. So that's excitement in person today. We will also have hospitalities, teas and coffees again after the service from today onwards. So that's the news from Kintore. Over to Stella.
Good morning and welcome to all who are watching this. We are not having a morning service at 10 o'clock in Blair Duff nor Chapel of Geary this morning, but we will be joining the 10 o'clock service at 3 p.m. As we're joining the Bethany United Church of Christ in Ohio with the Reverend Kim Cran. So it's a different Zoom link, which is published on the order of service, which you can get from the Facebook pages and website pages. So we look forward to welcoming you at 3 p.m. this afternoon. And now over to Ewan.
Thank you, Stella, and good morning to everyone. Cluny Money Mask, we continue with our mainly music group on Tuesday. I'm told that it was up to 16 or 17 families last week, which is a great restart after their break, and that's meeting in the village hall at the usual time. On Wednesday, we have our online midweek service, and on the next few weeks, we're going to be starting a confirmation class. Neil's just been saying about Christine, we're about to look forward to welcoming two new members joining the church through that. So that look out for these if anybody's interested in wanting to participate in such a new members inquiry class, please contact me. But that's all the news, I think, from Cluny Money Mask. And so I hand over to Tozzi and hear about his news.
Good morning. Today I will be very happy to see and learn how confirmation service is being done in the Church of Scotland. And the rest, as far as what's happening in Kintore, has been already said by Neil. Now I hand over to Joshua.
Thank you, Tozzi, and good morning, everybody. A bit of news to share from Kemnay this morning. For the 23rd, when this is being broadcast, we are now officially back to live services by unanimous vote, the Kirk session. So we're very pleased by that news, of course. Further news that we have also restarted our children's groups for Little Lambs of Kemnay, which meets on Fridays for sessions, and the information is posted on the Little Lambs of Kemnay Facebook page. And we're also back to running our children's Sunday school on Sunday mornings, which meets over at the church center at about 10:15 in the morning or so. But people are welcome to start at the Kirk and then be excused from worship to travel over to the center together for a time of learning. So that's the main news from Kemnay, and I now pass it back over to Sheila.
Well, worship continues in Ech Church, which we're using at the present moment, and we meet at 10:15. Hospitality, we're pleased to say, will begin again in the next couple of weeks, so watch the space as we get organised, and hopefully we'll look forward as well to the coffee morning starting that we were beginning to plan for February going onwards. In the meantime, we hope that you will find blessing through our worship together this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us pray. Loving God, another week has gone and another week has begun. In this time of worship, we have gathered to refocus our lives on what truly matters. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of technology, for how it enables us to have fellowship with each other in this time. The Lord, we praise you for the good work that you are doing in each of our lives, and in our communities. We are grateful that you are drawing us closer together as one united family of faith. Well, loving God, we also confess to you that it can often be hard to hear you in the course of each day. We confess that all too often we pride ourselves on being overly busy. And we confess that we willfully fill our lives with distractions. Even though we are quick to verbally claim you as our greatest treasure, we do confess that this truth often does not permeate every aspect of our lives. For all the times, Lord, when we fall short of your glory, we ask for your pardon. For all the times when lesser things sit on the throne of our hearts, we pray for your forgiveness. And Lord, in the next few moments of silence, we come before you as our loving Father, and we confess our sins to you. Lord Jesus, you are the only one who is in a position to condemn. And we know that you have come into this world to save sinners. And because of your saving death and resurrection, we have true peace with God and real fellowship with each other. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, as we go into another week, please make this good news of Jesus sink ever deeper into our souls. Take us, mold us, use us for your glory. We pray these things in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us continue to worship God through song. Let us sing.
Oh, Hear the word of God. Our reading for today comes from the scripture of the New Testament from the Gospel according to St. Luke. Luke chapter 4, reading from verse 14 to verse 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was the custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Calvary, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord so much for being together as we share his word. We have just read a scripture from the book of Luke, where we see Jesus in Nazareth, where he was asked to read the scroll of Isaiah. Jesus chose to read a portion which we can call today Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 2. His choice of the portion to read declares his purpose for his ministry. And it is quite interesting that after reading the scroll, Jesus handed over the scroll and said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Perhaps this is the shortest sermon ever. Just after reading the scripture, you simply say, "This scripture is fulfilled today. Amen." What a short sermon. By saying these words, Jesus summarized his purpose of which God has sent him on earth. Number one, preaching the good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release of the oppressed, and proclaim the year of God's favor. The themes of this prophecy are clearly seen in Jesus' ministry. This can literally be seen and was greatly emphasized through Jesus' love for the poor. He spoke freedom from sin. He healed the sick. Those oppressed by the demons were rescued. The blind's eyes were opened. However, there's a greater meaning to this as well. The oppressed, was saying when he said, "I was sent to preach to the poor and to proclaim good news," as well as talking about the oppressed. The oppressed can be defined as a group of burdened with cruel or injustice impositions or restraints. But also, we know that there were a lot of people who were oppressed by then. It could be interpreted literally. For example, if you are to look, how can it be that Jesus came to fulfill this prophecy while still people were still in captivity and people were still under oppression? In this verse, it is linked to the year of Jubilee outlined in Leviticus chapter 25, apart from reading it from the book of Isaiah. There were laws related to the year of Jubilee. Number one, the law was against oppression. The law allows release of every person who has been bound by contract at the year of Jubilee. Just to mention a few, but there were a lot of things on this law related to the year of Jubilee. The oppressed are the brokenhearted, and the oppressed are those who are oppressed by the devil, who are oppressed in this world, and the greatest enemy is our flesh as well. The world around us is being manipulated by the devil. And more to be our enemy. The only release from oppression of this world is to find comfort from Christ. Then Jesus said, I was sent to proclaim good news to the poor. You know, this is one of the problematic issues, especially in Africa, when talking about proclaiming good news to the poor. Luke uses this term more than any other gospel. Good news, according to Luke, firstly announces the birth of Christ, and now the good news is being used to describe the content of Jesus' ministry. So if you are to look at the word poor or poverty, poverty does not solemnly reflect to lack of resources. Rather, it reflects to the inability to make choices with one's life and one's family. The poor, repentant man bows down before God with nothing at all to offer to his soul, because man cannot offer anything for his soul. Christ has everything to offer. We can only receive. When we come to him, helpless, not trying to justify ourselves or to act as if we are anything he should notice, then he preaches the gospel to us and he offers us everything he has to offer. Jesus also said he was sent to proclaim freedom to the captives. Jesus' mission is for the prisoners, the captives, in war against Satan, bound by sin and condemned to eternal death. The devil would hold us captives with no hope of escape, and even our sinful human flesh remains our enemy throughout this life. When the spirit of man is reborn in baptism, we are made alive with faith. When the flesh of man is reborn in the resurrection, we are made alive for the eternal life, and faith that will see God in person forever. Until then, we have spiritual freedom as children of God. We have got spiritual freedom as the promised children of God. You know, Jesus also said he was sent to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which can be directly linked to this passage of scripture that we have just read. This is the year of Jubilee, as I have earlier said, from the Old Testament's calendar, the fifth year in which all debts were cancelled and all prisoners were set free. families could go home to their ancestral property, because even the loss of family farm was undone, and everything got to put back as it used to be. Jesus was not ushering an actual jubilee, but rather the event for which the jubilee of Leviticus 25 verse 10 to 55 was a mere type. Release. Jesus was talking about the release, not from human bondage, not from human debts, not from human separation, but Jesus was talking from the release from the bondage of sin, the release from the death, release from the power of the devil. This was the new jubilee Jesus had come to announce and to fulfill. Right, in conclusion, this chapter that we have read summarizes the mission of God, summarizes the mission of Christ. Likewise, we were born again, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are now participating in the mission of God. My late lecturer, Henry William Murray, used to teach me this was the mission of God. The mission of God is to reconcile the broken relationship between God and the entire creation. Salvation is not only about you. What are you going to do after salvation? After God has saved you, after you have been liberated, what are you going to do without salvation? You have to go to reach the world. It was Christ who reached the world. He is still, and he is in us. May the Lord richly bless the preaching of his word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we continue our service in prayer, I want to read to you a prayer from this book, Radiance of His Glory, by David Adam. So shall we join our hearts and our minds once again in prayer? Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you give gifts to all your people. You give us the power and ability to do what you would have us do. Help us to use the gifts you have given us for the benefit of others and to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for all who enrich our world by their talents and abilities. We pray for those with the gift of healing and all healing ministries. We pray for those who are visionaries and those who plan for our future. May we all exercise the gift of discernment and distinguish the true from the false. We pray for all who are preparing for marriage, for all who have recently fallen in love. We remember homes where there is tension or estrangement, for homes where there is breakdown in marriage or in relationships. Lord, come to us who are empty and fill us with your love. Lord, who has given us this world and all that is in it, help us use its resources properly, that we do not waste now what we should be saved for the future, that the resources of the sea are not overused, that fossil fuels are not too easily spent. We pray that we can care not to pollute the earth or its environment. Bless all who are seeking to conserve and to protect our natural resources. We pray for countries whose crops have failed, whose harvest is poor, and to all who live in desert places. Lord, come to us who are empty and fill us with your love. We rejoice, O God, that you delight in us. You will not leave us desolate. You are God who renews and restores your creation. We pray that we may learn to delight in each other and give our attention and love to one another. Bless our homes and our loved ones with your fullness. Renew and restore us in strength and in love. And we pray for all who are struggling in their relationships. Lord, come to us who are empty and fill us with your love. We pray for all who have been made to feel inadequate or unwanted, for all who feel as if they have run out of energy or hope, for all who feel empty
of life or that life is too much for them. We remember the despairing, the despondent, and all who feel utterly drained. Lord, come to us and fill us with your love. And we rejoice with all who have received of your fullness in your kingdom. We give thanks for those who challenged us and changed us, all who have been restored and renewed by your love and your saving power. We remember those dear ones to us who have departed to glory, and we give thanks for the communion of saints. Gracious God, come to us who are empty and fill us with your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we're now going to close our service by singing the second hymn. So let's close our service in song.
Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you and with people everywhere, now and always. Amen.